welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Are you ready? Last week was coffee with Jesus. I haven't the foggiest what to call this week. Maybe it's tea with the Lord. But probably stretching an analogy a little bit too far. So, but just for those who weren't here and for those who've forgotten, last week I started in Ezra. Do you remember? And we looked at the persecution coming against Ezra, and you get this very sad verse in Ezra chapter 4, verse 24, that just says, "And the work on the house of the Lord came to a standstill." Now, you can do that in a corporate way, you can do that in a personal way. I mean, if you're not metaphorically having the coffee with Jesus and tea with the Lord, your spiritual life comes to a standstill. And then you get bored and depressed and fed up, because you're supposed to be a person of growth. There's supposed to be new opportunities and new things happening. Well, to do that, you've got to spend time with the Lord, because that's what he downloads to you.
Amen.
Okay, we're not going to show that video again. If you weren't here and missed it, look for Coffee with Jesus on YouTube. It was quite funny. But we need to move on a little bit from that this week. We also looked, though, at Romans chapter 1. Do you remember Paul speaking to Romans and all Christians? So just a little bit of a reminder. Romans 1:6, I was reading it in the Truth last week, and it says, "And you are also included." Yes. I mean, we need to jump up and down and rejoice, really, when you hear something like that. That's me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm included in God's divine, amazing plan. I'm included. I mean, who am I? Who are you? You know, some bod that lives in Scarborough or Bridlington or Driffield or some other weird place. But, you know, I'm included. You're also included amongst those who have been called. You're not just included, you're called. And those who answer the call are the chosen. And the word called, if you remember, the Greek means called to a banquet. All right, it's not called to a heavy workload. It's not called to a life of obeying the commandments and having a life of drudgery and misery. It's not life, you're not called to a life of religious observance and tiny little laws and minutia that mean you've got to do this and you've got to do that. You are called to the great adventure of knowing Jesus, of coming under the love of the God the Father and going on a walk with him and discovering life as he meant it to be for you. That's why it's good. It's a banquet. Banquets are not a bowl of porridge with salt. All right, banquets are loads of food with porridge that like it. All right, but you can choose, you can pick. God lays out a smorgasbord of a life for you, and you can just go for it. You know, sometimes we think that God's will is, "Oh, have I stepped off it?" You know, God gives you choice. Yeah, he says, "Take this. Would you like this? Go for this." Because he's so enormous, he knows what you're going to choose anyway. So his perfect will is in line with what you want to choose that's great for you. I mean, sometimes, God calls us to do something and we sort of think, "I don't know if I want to do that. Why does God want me to do that?" But actually, when we do it, we find out, "Oh, I see why now. This is good for me. I like this." You know? Oh, hallelujah. I'm writing to all of you in Rome. This is Paul again, writing in Romans. But, and to all who are loved by God. In other words, us lot as well. And are called to be saints. This is Saint Brian. This is Saint Daniel. Hey, look, we're sending out Saint Nigel out to Burundi. You are a saint. It's not just Saint Columba and Saint Aidan and the famous Celtic saints of this area. Or Saint, I don't know, who else? Oswald, the king. Or, I don't know, we won't go down that road. Everyone who has answered the call and surrendered to him is a saint. You are Saint David. You are Saint Mike. Say Saint Michael's, that sounds a bit weird. You are Saint Nabil. You are Saint Jimmy. No, when you're up at the Coptic monastery, don't go on about that too much. They might not cope. Saint Jim. Hallelujah. In other words, as he says here, those who he has set apart for himself and his purposes. Himself and his purposes. Himself. He loves you so much. He thinks you're so wonderful. He thinks you're so gorgeous. He does. He thinks you're gorgeous. All right? He thinks you're cute. He thinks you're beautiful. He thinks you're intelligent. He thinks you're handsome. He thinks you're stunning. He thinks you're just the way he made you to be. And because he's made you that way, he's got a purpose for you and a calling for you. And he made you for himself, for his pleasure. You give God pleasure. Amen. When God sees you get up in the morning, you might groan in the mirror, but he's smiling. He thinks, wow, just look at them. All right? You might be thinking, oh, no. But he's thinking, awesome. I like that. I love that. I want to spend today with that. What do you mean we're not having coffee today? Hallelujah. It's true. It's true. God loves to be with you. And I want to look at a bit of the response to that where we were last week and moving on from that. Okay? In a minute, we're going to go to Jeremiah. Now, in your Bible, Jeremiah comes after the book of Ezra that we were looking at last week. But actually, the story of Jeremiah, of course, takes place before Ezra. Jeremiah the prophet was talking about the coming captivity in Babylon, and then it all happens, and then he's talking to the man, it has happened. But it's 70 years before the exiles return and Ezra's ministry begins. So even though it comes after the book of Ezra in your Bible, that chronologically it's set before. Okay? Don't get confused. Some people get confused and think the Bible's in chronological order, especially the Old Testament. It's not. Okay, it's in a traditional order. It's grouped according to how people group them. Hallelujah. So we're going to do that in a minute. But before that, I also wanted to show you the video that I was going to get round to showing you last week. Do you remember? And it links into what we're doing. It's a little bit poor quality because it's off the internet. And the filming quality in the original is not that great. But let's just watch this small clip from Bill Johnson preaching.
I think it's been probably 3 years now we've actually had such a shift in the whole realm of miracles that we have more people healed in public places than we do inside the building. I don't know that there's ever a day that goes by in our city where there's not a miracle of some sort. It's funny, a while back we had a lady call us from the mall. She called us from the mall. She said, I was told if I came to the mall, somebody would pray for me and God would heal me. She said, I'm down at the mall and no one has prayed for me. I mean, we had to apologize, give her directions to the church. It's horrible when you can't go to the mall and get a miracle. I mean, what's this world coming to, right? Isn't that amazing? And so we have people that will come and they'll visit us, you know, and they'll come to the church. And I haven't had this happen for a while, but a number of years ago when the story started going around the country, you know, of people healed at the mall or whatever. So we'd have visitors come and they say, Bill, I want to go on your mall outreach. And the first time they asked me that, it caught me off guard. I went, mall outreach? They go, yeah. You know, all the stories you tell us about all the people that healed at the mall. I mean, oh, yeah, we don't have a mall outreach. We just have people who shop. You were born to invade the impossible. The reason God didn't kill you when you were born again is because you have the divine assignment to invade the impossible. The Christian life is the reality of the Christian life is measured by its impact on the impossible. Much of what we give God credit for can be done by the Kiwanis Club. I don't mean God's not involved. I'm just saying all it is doing is tapping into human talent to accomplish what mankind can accomplish. I mean, what satisfaction is there in human accomplishment? There's some, but it's not real lasting. It's nothing like having cancer disappear. It's nothing like the mother who lost the use of one arm through an accident, lost 3 inches of bone, couldn't grasp, couldn't raise her arm, had no feeling from the elbow down, and was unable to pick up her 2-year-old because of this accident. 5 surgeries in 4.5 years. It was nothing like watching a woman pray for her and have God replace the 3 inches of bone, all movement, all feeling, everything. And then she goes to pick up her two-year-old, and her little girl says, "No, mommy, broken arm." Because that's all she's heard her whole life. 2 years old. And then to see mommy say, "It's okay." You know, all the buildings I could build, all the money I could raise, none of it has a breath of competition against the moment of seeing that little girl held by her mother because there was the restoration of an arm. I'll take that over a million buildings. And that's who you are. You were born into this family. And the spirit of the resurrected Christ, the actual spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, not a duplicate, not a copy, not a representative of, the actual spirit of the resurrected Christ took up residence in us. He's in you and he wants out. I like to put it this way. The Holy Spirit is imprisoned in the bodies of unbelieving believers. Because he's in us as a river, not a lake. That was a good point, Bill. That was very meaningful. Really touched me. He's in us to flow through us to alter the geography around us. That really is the nature of things. Jesus would walk into a place, begin to talk, and suddenly there's an atmospheric shift over the entire crowd. See, we're not people with good ideas. We have those, but that's not the impressive thing. It's that when we speak and release spirit.
Amen. Okay, so you can see this whole thing where we're talking about being chosen and having purpose and being called. It doesn't then become some kind of weight that you've then got to carry that around, because you've already got the Holy Spirit living within you, okay, which just needs to be let out. How does the Holy Spirit get let out? How do things begin to happen? Bill Johnson touched on it in, you know, that short clip from obviously a much longer Sunday morning preach. You've got the love of God in you, so that when you're doing the ordinary things, as well as the things you set up specifically, the love of God has that opportunity to burst out. When did you last pray for somebody when you were shopping? At the mall. The Brunswick. But when did you? You know, if we look for those opportunities, I guarantee the Holy Spirit will give them to you. If you are open, if you say to God, "Okay, I'm willing to pray for a stranger in a strange place," you will. You will. And then you'll start to see miracles happen. Because miracles weren't made for Sunday mornings. Miracles were made to be a sign that showed the way to God. They're supposed to be in the marketplace. They're supposed to be in the street. They're supposed to be on the beach. And so, yeah, when we go shopping, that ordinary thing, and the reason is you get this passion and this love and this desire to see God move where you live. You know, it's for Scarborough, it's for Driffield, it's for Brid, it's for Leeds, it's for York, it's for all the areas that are all around us. Wherever God has planted you, and bigger, because we're not just narrow, it's wherever you are that God gives you this thing. But you say, "Oh, I don't know if I really feel like that. I've never really had a passion for the lost." When did you last pray for them? "Well, I don't really pray for them because I haven't got a passion for the lost." That sounds a bit like a Birmingham accent, that does. Sorry, Birmingham. You know, well, what's going to come first? The prayer. You know, you might not feel like it, but you start and then you go. And sometimes you have to go and then you pray, because you go and nothing happens. You think, "Right, I'm not doing that. I'm not wasting my time." And alongside that, other things grow up and other opportunities happen. Like this springtime event. It's a marvelous opportunity to stand united as the church in Scarborough. And you know, I know that we don't all do things in the same way. And sometimes we want to do things slightly different to others. But we do all actually believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're going to stand with our family. All right, because they're our brothers and our sisters. And it was good to have Graham Parkins and Martin Dunning speaking at Kingdom Faith this morning. I shall have to tell them that they were guest speakers when I see them Wednesday morning at Kingdom Faith Church this Sunday. Hallelujah. You know, there's this unity that God is giving us in Scarborough, because He wants to work with his church. And the church is beginning to grow up beyond petty differences and rules and regulations and realize we've got to work on relationship. Because we work with God on relationship, not petty rules and regulations. So how about all the rest? You know? Hallelujah. Anyway, Jeremiah. So if you want to go to where I'm going, I spoke from it before. I just felt God taking me back to it today. We're not going to be there forever, but Jeremiah 29. If you've got an NIV, it's headed A Letter to the Exiles. This was the guys that got taken from Jerusalem to live in Babylon in the year 597 BC. Okay? And this is what he writes. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders and exiles and to the priests and the prophets and all the other people. Nebuchadnezzar carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, I think whenever you read this, it's always really good to remind yourself that this is God speaking to his people in Babylon. They're not in Jerusalem. They're not in the center of the very place that God has chosen them to be. They're not in a godly place. In fact, Babylon is often used as an example of everything gone wrong, of people following their own ways, of there was worship of many different gods. It certainly wasn't a God-fearing nation that God had placed them in. Okay, and so when Nehemiah starts to speak to these guys, he says in verse 4, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce." This was astonishing to the people that were listening. They weren't expecting the prophet of God to say this. In fact, if you read on from there, you'll find others came in and sort of tried to shut Jeremiah up. Others said, no, we're not going to be here long because God's going to restore us back to Jerusalem. Don't bother building a house. You know, just get in your little groups, button down the hatches and survive because we're going to go back. And God was saying, you're not going back, not for years. Because I brought you here to learn about who you are and who I am, because you wouldn't do it over there, and also because you are to be a light in Babylon. I mean, other people that were there, contemporaries of, would be people like Ezekiel. He did build a house. He talks about it in his book and about being next to the river. Others would be Daniel. He was there in Babylon. You know, the great prophet Daniel and the prophecies and the visions that Ezekiel and Daniel had, they were in Babylon of all places, not in Jerusalem. You know, just God confirming that he's a worldwide God. He's here for the whole of the world. So he placed the Jewish people, his chosen people, in the middle of the Gentiles and gives them the great visions of his plans and things to do. And Ezekiel gets his vision of wheels within wheels, and Daniel gets his prophetic visions of the Son of Man coming back. And they make both of them. There's loads of stuff about Jesus coming. And they're in Babylon. But they've listened to Jeremiah and they're making a life in Babylon. I mean, Daniel, he rises up to become prominent in the land. You know, he's working with a completely pagan, corrupt government and doing the best job, most excellent job he can possibly do. You know, yes, he does come into a couple of conflict issues, but we won't go there today with lions and other such things, fires, or his friends did. But he's concerned to do the best he can where God has placed him. And this is exactly what God wants for us. You may be native to Scarborough, or you might feel like you're an exile to Scarborough, or wherever you've come from this morning. But where you are is where God has placed you. Not to judge and condemn, not to batten down the hatches. I mean, praise God, I think things are changing in all the church. There used to be, even only 3 years ago, a very much more common mentality of if we just knuckle on down, put a roof over the top and shut the doors, they won't get us. All right? Well, because Jesus is coming back soon anyway. Well, Jesus may be coming back soon, but that's not how we're called to live. We don't know the time or the hour he's coming back. It could be tomorrow. Okay? Dan's happy now. He's married, so it's all right. Hallelujah. But it might be 70 years. It might be 700 years. We really don't know. But God has placed us here. And what does he say to do while we're here? Build houses. Settle down. Plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry, well done Dan, have sons and daughters, ooh, find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage, so that they may too have sons and daughters. Hallelujah. In other words, get some long-term planning going in your life about where you're going in God and what His call is upon your life. Don't just live day to day wondering, oh, what's God going to do today in some sort of super spiritual hula hoop dance, you know? It's no, you probably don't know, actually, because I don't. But but some people do live their lives like that. They sort of stand around and wiggle in the Lord and wait for a lovely feeling to come upon them, and that's it. That's been a good day. But what did that day do in terms of what God is doing in their life for the day after, and the day after that, and the day after that? You know? We've got to think long term. We've got to think future, you know? Hallelujah. And I think that's how we've got to be in this town as we plan. Why isn't it good for us to be eternally in the library? Because it's not a building. It's a temporary thing. And God has not temporarily put Kingdom Faith Yorkshire in Scarborough. We're to be permanently here to change Scarborough and Yorkshire and our nation. And beyond. Hallelujah. You think, well, that's a bit big, isn't it? No. God's big. Hallelujah. So, back to Jeremiah. Increase in number there, do not decrease. I like that verse. Take that verse, write it on your fridge, preferably not in permanent marker, but on a piece of paper. All right, put it on your fridge, just that bit. Increase in number, do not decrease. That's God's plan. Okay? Why does He want us to increase in number? Because He loves people. He wants them to know they're not under blood libel. They are forgiven. Hallelujah, Jew or Gentile. The blood on their heads or our heads means we're forgiven. I actually think the Jewish leader, a guy that stood up and said that, didn't know it, but he was prophesying of the salvation of Jesus that is available from the blood. He's only stating the truth. May His blood be upon us. Absolutely. May the blood of Jesus be on the Jewish nation that we could stand together with every Jew and say we're brothers together. Hallelujah, in Christ. Not just grafted into the same tree as we are now. Anyway, that's an aside. Let's move on. Also, and this is a good bit. You know this bit. I've probably used it loads of times. But come on, let's get excited about it again. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. That's good advice, isn't it? So often, you know, and I've spoken of how Daniel did this, of how Ezekiel was doing this, of how the people that were living there were called to do this. And the town they were living in, the city they were living in, was Babylon. They were to seek the peace and prosperity of Babylon. How weird is that? So Scarborough's all right. Yeah. You know, compared to Babylon, it's glowing with holiness. You know, so God says, seek the peace and the prosperity of your town. I mean, I love the fact that official figures for Scarborough, you know, maybe it's associating too much, maybe it isn't. But when we came here, we all got stirred up to really pray for Scarborough, didn't we? And we've really been praying for this town. And, you know, a few months ago, the statistic was that Scarborough was the only town in the north of England not in recession. You know? Did those prayers make that a difference? I don't know. It's a nice coincidence if it isn't. I think it did. You know? Even now, they're talking of building this huge wind farm. I don't know whether it happened or it won't happen, off Dogger Bank. If that happens, it will bring immense prosperity and people to this town. They really will have to build an A64 dual carriageway to York. Hallelujah. You know, it's good to pray for the peace and work for the peace and the prosperity of the town. And God confirmed that when He gave us the whole, you know, the vision for the street angels. It's a completely going out and being completely non-judgmental on people who could be up to any all kinds of stuff that's totally not God's plan for their life. But you're there just to love them and demonstrate that the kingdom is at hand. There's something different. There is an answer. And as a result, people are noticing that actually we do really care about the town. And we're not just there to say, you sinner, and you shouldn't be drinking, you shouldn't be doing that. In any case, you don't know whether that person who's just been sick all down them, whether they're ill, whether they had their drink spiked, you don't know what's going on anyway. So you can't do anything. And it's out of that compassion, that same root cause, that has led us to begin youth angels as an extension of street angels so that we can work more with young people and get alongside young people and develop relationship with young people. We had an awesome civic launch up at the town hall this week. You know, as it was just, it's just, you just really know that the favor of God is upon you, you know. And it was great, you know, that the superintendent of North Yorkshire Police is there to speak and wish us every success. And he was so positive about the work. He said to me, he said to me, along with Graham Parkins, they were sort of agreeing with one another. He said, it's Street Angels that is making the church credible in the 21st century. Yeah, he's willing to engage because he sees it's not just the people who are battening down or hiding or have got their own religious bigotries that they're sticking to. He sees the people who care and want to make a difference in their community. So he was there, Javed Ali, and the mayor was there, Hazel Linsky, and the mayoress, Sheila, I can't remember her surname, and Hilary Jones, the director of the council. And then the other person on the table of speakers was Paul Abel, the leader of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. But what an opportunity God gives you to stand together. And after all this had happened, I spent 15 minutes talking to the mayor and the mayoress, who used to be a mayor, she's sort of standing working with her, about the Lord, about what Jesus was, about what a 21st century church was, why it wasn't a cult, but just part of the churches together in Scarborough. Her whole attitude changed in 15 minutes to who we were, although she was already positive to what we were doing. Her friend, Sheila, the mayoress, she said, oh, well, in your first month of going out, you helped a friend of mine whose drink had been spiked, just like I mentioned a minute ago, and she wasn't capable of getting home, and you helped her out, and you got her home. So Sheila had already got a positive attitude to what was happening because you'd been there to help. You know, and when BBC Radio York came along and recorded all kinds of stuff, and then the next day it was constantly on the radio, we became the headline story for the morning. And it was all over their website. And it was you know how they have a subject that you can ring up about and email about and text about and everything. That was their subject of the day. You know, this is awesome because it opens up doors to talk about Jesus. It gives us an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Jesus. Amen? And so praise God for everything that he's doing in that area. And isn't it, you know, amazing how, you know, the funding was given to enable us to get the whole thing off the ground over 2 years. This is God's favor. But it's not the end, it's the beginning. It's increasing and increasing and increasing. And we've been through an Ezra 1, 2, 3, and 4 difficult bit. You know? It's probably a lot of last year for some of you was difficult. But certainly at the end of it, as from a church point of view, it was also difficult. Snow and no people and everything else. Well, the work of God is not coming to a standstill. It's merely using it as a platform to leap forward from. Hallelujah. Actually, if you ever go through hard times, rejoice. Because if you go through hard times with someone else, those are the times when you're brought close together. And we haven't really been through hard times, you know, have we at all? But you know what I mean. You still, it just gives you a chance. So rejoice. And just know that if those things happen, it's just the enemy trying to stop you. This is good. This means you're on the right track. If your life's all peaceful and lovely, it's about time you got moving. You're not doing anything. Hallelujah. So, he comes along, Jeremiah, to his people, and he gives this thing. Let's just have a look. Let's go back there. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. For I know the plans I have for you, jump into verse 11, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek with all your heart. He was saying, have patience, people. Have composure. Okay? Don't get frustrated because exactly what you wanted to happen isn't happening at exactly the right time. The Lord was going to bless them enormously while they were in Babylon. He was going to give some of them tremendous opportunities within that economy, within that nation. But if they were just thinking, when's this going to be over? When are we going to be at the next bit? They wouldn't have been able to do that. It wasn't a batten down the hatches approach. It was instead, come on, love this place. Love Babylon. Hallelujah. It's a long-term thing. It's a long-term thing for us. Even if you think you might only be here for a short time, whenever you're part of a church, wherever you go, always sew yourself into what's happening in that place, not knowing when you will leave. Even if you think you know when you will leave, if you have an attitude of, I'm just here for a year, or I'm just here for 2 years, even if that's as it ends up what it would be, you won't be able to build and grow in the way that you could do while you're there. You know, you have an attitude of, I am here to serve this leadership for the rest of my days. You know, I'm serious about that. I was like that. Kate was like that when we were in Horsham. As far as we were concerned, we would be there until Jesus come back or they carried us out in a box. Okay, instead we moved to Scarborough. But because we were there with that attitude, we were able to sow into that. You know, we were there for that church leadership. We were there for the vision that they got, the local vision of Horsham. Amen. And then God brought about a time when he said, actually, I'm calling you to take what you've done here, what you're doing here, what I've done through you here, what you've learned from me here, and I want you to go up there. Amen. And then God's going to do something different in you. Hallelujah. And you can use everything I've done in you. And that's what he did. It's about making space in our lives for what God wants to do. So many people move because of jobs or because of education. And you think, well, that, aren't you? And God says, seek first his kingdom. It's not, that's where I'm going to get the best job. Is that where God is calling me to seek the kingdom? This is radical thinking. But if we do it like this, we will truly see what we've always wanted to see. Which is the miraculous and all the glory of God being poured out, you know. But we can't think like the world and get frustrated because you're not earning as much as you perhaps could have done, or it's, you know, maybe you could have had a bigger house or a bigger flat or a bigger bucket, whatever. It's what I have got is the Lord Jesus. What I have got is eternity living in my heart. What I have got is access to the miraculous. What I have got is a loving Father watching over me, caring over me. What I have got is all the resources of heaven at my fingertips. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. What I have got is an acknowledgement that I am a son of God. What I have got is a knowledge that I am called and chosen and I have purpose and a destiny. I'm not just here to get enough money together to get a 60-inch TV. Well, some people, that's what they're living for. I quite like a big TV, but it's not what I'm living for. You know? Hallelujah. Are you behind me on this today? It's time for a new harvest. That's why I'm excited about the Springtide Initiative. You know? That's why I'm excited in that Saturday training. I don't know if you spotted, but of course it does clash with our 24-hour Men's Summit, like similar to the one we had in the summer, where we decided we needed to call it every 6 months, so we have done. Well, if you're going to be involved in Spring Harvest, you might need to nip out for 3 hours, or you can get the information from Brian and Jem. Shona and Jem are going to go to it anyway, so they'll have the information about what's happening and what you can be part of and what we're doing and everything else. There's more information coming, but if you're interested and you think you could be doing stuff, it will help if you let them know. But I'm also excited about this, because when men get together and pray, stuff happens. When we get together and pray, look how the breakthroughs have come through the days of favor times of praying together, you know, with that focus on local leadership. And suddenly we know all the local leadership and we're working with local secular leadership. It's amazing what God does. Hallelujah. And it's also, I mean, there's 26 men booked in for this conference, okay? One of those is from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Now, actually, you might think, oh, that's not very good. Well, I'm really happy. Hallelujah, that people want to come. But I think some of us might need to wake up a little bit and get their booking. If you want to stay at Lamplugh, I don't think there's any space left, is there? Oh, around the area. But if you already live around the area, you'll probably just go home. Or you can sleep in the cellar with a sleeping bag, if you like. I'll be getting in touch with some of you to tell you what you're doing. And you aren't even signed up yet. No, please do. Please see Joanne and say, yes, I'm going to be there. Even if you can see on the back of one of these, I think there's some out there as well, about the different options with meals and everything else. It finishes with a big curry on the Saturday night just to spend some time having fun together. It's not a conference. It's not even a worship time, although there's worship included in it. It runs 24 hours, and you go to as much or as little as you want to while you're there. You might want to go off walking in the grounds, not quite as nice as in July, but you might want to go off walking in the grounds to seek the Lord. But there's always something happening, except maybe in the small hours, if not everybody makes it through every part of the night. Some do. I think you nearly did everything last time, didn't you? But something is running all the time that you can just go in and join in with as people pray for the nation, for Scarborough, for men in general, for marriage. Whatever is upon that, each man is just given the remit, hear from God what he wants you to lead the men in for that time. And you take part or you don't. You go and get food or you don't. Cool, eh? There's nothing else like it. I'm excited that many men want to come from elsewhere to join in. The word spread from the last one. This is good. This works. Hallelujah. And it's part of what we're saying here in Jeremiah. Pray for your city. Amen. Pay for the priests and prosperity of your city. For when it prospers, you too will prosper. You don't even have to be altruistic to do it. There's a promise of prosperity for you. Amazing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jeremiah is saying to the people, you've got too short a mindset. You need to look ahead. You need to see what God is doing. Stop living for today and live for the future. You know, some people just live for the moment. Oh, what's going to happen today? We've also got to have an eye on where's God taking me? What's God doing? Has God called you to mission? Then do you need to learn a language? You know, has God called you to run a business? Then do you need to get a business education? Has God called you to be a church minister? Then are you planning towards going to Bible college? You know, has God called you to work full time in the church or to serve the church? Well, then how are you going to do it? Where are you going to live? How are you going to get part time work? It doesn't just happen. All right. Prayer, when you pray, things seem to just happen, but you talk to the people that get these marvelous miracles, and they always stepped out. The lady that got prayed for in the mall and had her arm bone regrown, or whatever it was that Bill Johnson was talking about, somebody stepped out and prayed, then it just happened. Yes. If nobody had prayed with her, or if somebody had just thought, oh, I must pray for that poor woman, it would never have happened. Amen. Okay. Are you a spender or an investor? Are you investing for the future? You know, you can invest your spiritual time. Are you spending time with the Lord? Then we're back at that. Are you spending time in the Word? Are you investing your finances in the right places? Not just for you, but are you tithing and making your offerings correct? Because you're investing for the future. The best return is on tithes and offerings. Are you a Christian of preference or conviction? Do you do things because you're convinced that's what you should be doing, or just because you feel like it? Do you go to church on Sunday mornings because it's quite nice, it's not raining, or because you know you've got to be there? That's where I want to be. I want to be with God's people. Why would I want to be anywhere else? I want to hear what God's saying to us that morning. You know, oh, I don't know if I go today. I don't feel like it. I'd rather spend some time at home, I think. I don't think there's many people like that, but there's many other areas in which we can do that. You know, perhaps you're part of a life team in the church. I don't really like that. I don't. Or are you convinced that God has called us to stand together as brothers and sisters and family? You know, you say, well, I don't know if we're going to do anything. Well, then you come up with what you're going to do. You come with some vision to that group and say, look, I've had an idea. I think it might be from the Lord. Shall we pray about it? I thought we could do something like this. Because if you do something together, that's what really will bond you together. And that's what will really turn this town upside down. When there's groups of 4 and 6 and 8 and 10 that are doing things together in our community, that's when things start to happen. It's not just all about Kingdom Faith Yorkshire doing it all big all the time. The early church grew in homes. Even though they were all one church, but they were all meeting in different homes and getting stuff done and say, oh, do you want to come round for a meal? Don't get me on open house again. Are you just letting a room or are you building a home? One's short-term, one's long-term thinking. You know, because God thinks of you like a home. He says, I will come and live within you. You know, if we want to see the exciting stuff, we've got to be Christians of conviction, not just of preference. I want to look at one final passage and I'll finish. We're only going to be in it briefly. If you go to John chapter 7, verse 37. Because I think it's also important that as I speak like this, we don't just get stirred up, but we remember that as we take action, as we work on conviction, as we do everything else, it's also we do it in the Spirit, not just because we're strong-willed or got a bit of passion. We do it in the Spirit. And there's that occasion when Jesus first talks of what is to come. It says, verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me and what the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Out of his belly, it literally says. And the word streams means, when it says streams, it's like a raging torrent, actually. A raging torrent of the Holy Spirit will flow out of his belly. You know, this is Jesus standing up at the Feast of Tabernacles. It was like a period of 8 days where the Jewish people remembered what God had done when they were in the desert. And so each day the priests would bring a golden pitcher of water, and as they brought the golden pitcher of water, the others would be singing Isaiah 12 verse 3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. That's what they were singing. And they'd done this for years and years and years. As the priests had brought the water out, they'd been singing, with joy you will draw from the wells of salvation. Okay? And when it says, this was probably, we're not really sure whether it was the seventh day or the eighth day that this happened. The 7 days they poured out the water, and the eighth day was like the final memorial of the feast. And suddenly Jesus stands up and cries out. You think, well, that's not particularly strange. Oh, it was very strange then, because a teacher sat and the teacher spoke his instruction. So when Jesus stood up and cried out, immediately people have been going, what's going on? That's not the right kind of service. that's not what we were here for. And people would have known that for 7 days, water had been pouring out, that had been taken from the pool of Siloam and being carried in this golden pitcher and offered by the priests as the singers were chanting. And then on the eighth day, as the memorial went away, there wasn't any water. But prophetically, Israel looked forward to the regathering of Israel when they would drink together from the wells of salvation. And suddenly, in the middle of this Feast of the Tabernacles, at the end of this Feast of the Tabernacles, Jesus stands up instead of sitting there, cries out in a loud voice. Now can you see the context of it? Whoever believes, if anyone is thirsty, the whole thing is about being thirsty and how God provides. That's what they've been doing for over a week. They've been rehearsing and remembering how God gives water to the thirsty in the desert experiences of life. And if anyone is thirsty, when he then says, let him come and drink, come to me and drink. People are thinking, what's he going on about? Has he got a tub of water out the back? And suddenly he throws in, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Not just a jug of water being poured out, but I'm saying you'll be plugged into the well of salvation. And from the well of salvation, the Holy Spirit's going to come flowing upon you and pouring out on all the others. Streams of living water are going to come flowing. You know, you can actually read the scripture in Greek in two ways. It can either be that the streams are flowing out from you, or the streams are flowing from heaven. But the reality, of course, is it's both. The streams of the fountain of heaven is pouring and downloading into you, and then it's pouring out on everybody else around. And Jesus stands up, and the reason he's standing in a loud voice, he says, I'm here to bring fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. This feast that you've been celebrating for hundreds of years, since Moses took you into the desert, since God prophetically provided that spring of water to enable you to drink in the desert. The days of the desert time are over, because if you believe in me, you shall never be thirsty again. No wonder the people were astonished. No wonder it breaks out into a huge argument just over. They know what he's saying. He's quite clearly saying, I'm God who provides for you.
Hallelujah.
Not just Jesus, son of Joseph. Possibly. Slightly dodgy history. You know? And as we get a passion to not just pray for the peace and prosperity of our city, but when you pray, if you believe what you pray, you have to act on it. You can't just pray. You have to act. Faith is action. Faith is often prayer in action. So as we pray, we need to go with this flow of the Holy Spirit, because we need a new harvest. The harvest that we've been gathering is lean. It's like the pickings. And it's time for the combine harvesters to be out there. It's time for the mass harvests to come in. It's time for us to see a move of God in our town, but it begins with us. It begins with us saying, I'm here for the long term. I'm here for the big picture. What if this is true, this word this morning, if God is moving, how are you preparing yourself for that? How are you getting your home ready to have six people in your front room being discipled? Are you ready for that? You know, we need to be ready for this. He's thinking, well, I don't even like inviting church people around. Well, then you need to get ready by asking the Lord to change you. And you say, well, I'd get conflict with that and that wouldn't work. Then ask God to show you how you can make it work. Oh, hallelujah. Streams of living water. God is downloading the Holy Spirit so that the harvest will be enormous. We are not just getting a little bit of water being poured out as a memorial for God's wonderful provision in the desert. We are no longer in the desert. We are in the days of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. John goes on to explain this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. By this, he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Because up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Amen. I'm almost excited now. I am excited. All this comes out from just spending time with the Lord and letting him give us an eternal picture rather than just me, my picture, my life. We're so much bigger. You know, it's so much bigger. Just have the worship team back forward.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.